3 John chapter 3. Now, if you're not finding 3 John chapter 3, there is no 3 John chapter 3. There's only one chapter, and it's just 3 John. So you could be looking in vain, and you will never find it. But the book of 3 John is where we're going to be at this evening. We're going to look at the majority of the book this evening. But 3 John, we're looking at the idea here of three guys and three outlooks. Three different people with three different views in ministry and three different ways of communication, you could say. So, by way of introduction, John writes to three men in this short book. The outlook that these men had can relate to us today. We will examine a servant, a selfish, and a selfless outlook and see how we can grow in God. So let's look at 3 John chapter 4. 3 John, there's no chapters, there's only one. But we're going to look at the fourth verse in 3 John. 3 John 4, the Bible says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I submit to you this evening as we look into this book, that God wants us to walk continually in truth. God wants us to walk with Him. And God is greatly rejoiced when His children of God walk in truth, when they are faithful to Him. Father, help us as we look into Your Word this evening, that You would help us to grow, to help us to understand it. Father, I pray that You just help me as I preach, to help us to be clear, to be plain, to be easy to understand and simple. And Father, help us in this room here, to help those watching by way of Facebook Live, that You just help us to be able to take hold of this, to set aside any distractions that might cause us to not be able to stay focused on Your Word this evening. And may we just ultimately leave here a better person than we walked in this evening. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. So 3 John is one of five one-chapter books in the Bible. Four of them are in the New Testament. One of them is in the Old Testament. Obadiah is the only one in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, you have these three in a row, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And then the other one is Philemon. Even though they're only one chapter, there are plenty of stuff that's within this book. The shortest book in the Bible would be 2 John. And the only difference is 9 words. This book here has 423 words, and 2 John, which we'll look at Wednesday night, hint, hint, is 414 words. So these are the two shortest books in the Bible, but it gives us a lot of information for us to be able to apply to you and I and into our lives tonight and throughout the week. So first of all, we're going to be looking at the outlook of a servant. That's in the first 8 verses here. So let's take a look. Verse 1 says this, the elder, that's referring to John. John writes this near the later part of his life. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So who is Gaius? Most likely it was someone that John had led to Jesus Christ. Where? We don't really know. There are a few mentions of the name Gaius. One was written in Acts. He was a companion of Paul. And there are some other instances of that near the end of some of the books that were written, mostly in Paul. This Gaius could be that, or it could be just another Gaius that was alive and John led him to Jesus, and he was a servant he was one who had helped John. He was probably a member or leader of a church. Don't know exactly his status, but he seemed to have a very prominent position where he was at. Maybe a deacon or really one who was faithful in service. He could be the one that came from Derbe in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, but we don't know. But his name means Lord. So he writes to Gaius, to who he loved in the truth. He was a believer, and he was someone who had put their faith and trust in God. And so as he writes it to this gentleman, Gaius, here's what he says first. First, he wants to encourage him, and then he's going to show how he was a servant. So verse 2 to 4, we look at how John wants to help Gaius and encourage him. Verse 2 says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So he may prosper. Prosper has this idea of to succeed or to be helped in reaching goals. And in good health, he refers to the physical and the spiritual health. Now, health here, in this section, we have mentioned this morning in Sunday school about how sometimes you can read a word, and in the Greek, it could be a different word. Well, here, health can mean something different. The translated word from health here means someone who is uncorrupt, who's true in doctrine. So what we're seeing here is when he's talking about being in good health, you could assume it to be physical, but John was really referring to his spiritual health. Can you be spiritually unhealthy? Yes, you can. How can that happen? By not following the will of God, by falling into sin. You can get unhealthy spiritually. And so John here is trying to say, hey, I want you to be prosperous spiritually. Obviously, everybody wants good physical health. That's a given. But he goes above that and says, I want you to be healthy spiritually. And I want you to stay true. I want you to stay within the right doctrine, within the right teaching. I don't want you to go astray. And then we go back to the physical, even as thy soul prospereth. So he says that he ought to stay sound in teaching and in doctrine. How so? How does he get to this point? Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Why would John say to him that he should continue to prosper in good health? Because his testimony was received well. Maybe you're thinking there in your pew tonight, those watching by way of Facebook, people don't notice me, how I work for the church. You know, God notices you. God knows what you're doing. You may not think that your work is being expressed, given toward everybody else, and everybody else is recognizing your praises. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be pretty personal with this one. But I honestly don't like when someone praises me publicly, and you think, that's just weird. You're weird. I know I am. Okay? But it's kind of awkward for me to have someone say something good, because I kind of want to stay low key. As the assistant pastor, I want to make pastor's job as easy as possible, to where if something goes great, he gets the praise. And I'm just there just being like, hey, 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 good for him. Even though I know I helped contribute to that fact that what was going on ended up being a success. But I don't like to have someone say, hey, look, Brother Chris did me. No. I'm going to like hide or do something like this. I don't like that. I don't know what it's going to be like on the wedding day. I don't know. But because now you're the front and center of attention of everybody there. But I don't like that. I mean, is it good? Yes. And it's good to be affirmed. It's, if you've ever read the Love Languages book, one of the love languages is words of affirmation. I do enjoy that. I do like being encouraged. But I also don't really like to be praised publicly. And what we're seeing here in this passage here is that people are recognizing Gaius's work. And Gaius is not saying, hey, look at what I've done. Other people are recognizing it, and they're showing and showering praise for this gentleman. So whatever you're doing for the work of the Lord, it may not be broadcast at the pulpit. It may not be broadcast in some fellowship or something like that. But know that God's still going to honor that work. It may be rewarded later on in life, maybe through an answered prayer or a blessing. We never know. So what's the point? Just stay faithful. Do the thing that you're doing. I know for a fact that there are people in this room who have prayed for me for probably 15 years, asking for the fact that may you send some lovely lady to sweep him off his feet. And I know your prayers were finally answered, okay? I know this. I've been told these, and a lot of this is starting to trickle out now, so thank you. But you know what? I also think to myself, you really cared for me that much that you do it for 15 years? But all seriousness aside, though, prayer works. And the more you just do the little things, the little nuances, it could be as simple as cleaning the church. It could be as simple as adjusting the sound so people can hear it. And eventually I'm going to have to find some time to work it back in the nursery again, because I know something has gone happened there. But just the little things like that to just make the service go smoothly. And it may not be broadcast at the pulpit. It may not be something that is like a life-changing thing for people. But you know what? Continue to do what you're doing. Maybe it's just playing a sport and people aren't recognizing your talent. But as long as you're playing your talent to the Lord, then God's going to bless that. Especially you teenagers here who are getting into the sports like basketball and football and whatever else you might be doing here. They may not praise you great, but you know what? You know that if you put your confidence in God, He's going to bless you and help those skills to evolve. I've been seeing that with one of our teen girls, just seeing how she's just been staying faithful to the Lord and still trying to hone her craft in basketball. And she's gotten quite good in the last year alone. And I just can't wait to see what happens, how God can use her as long as she continues to be dedicated and being a witness on the court, but also still trying to win at the same time. So people notice when someone is faithful. And that's what these people were saying in verse 3, that people were telling John, hey, Gaius has been faithful. And so John says, I want you to prosper, be in good health spiritually, continue to walk well spiritually. Why so? Verse 4, where we started at, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You can apply that to the physical realm with your own children. You can apply that to the spiritual realm. As a pastor, assistant pastor, seeing the people in your church serving God and being on fire for Him, it's a good feeling to see. It's not a good feeling when people don't come to church or not able to do things, or they just start caring, or there starts to be strife within the church. That doesn't thrill a pastor's soul at all. It never thrills a family's soul when family members are fighting with amongst each other. But if you know that your kids are doing well, you feel comforted in that. Sometimes you may wonder, will this kid ever turn out right? And then they do. And you're thinking, man, all that hard work finally paid off. Yeah, because you were diligent. You stayed faithful. You stayed committed. And as a Christian, we ought to be committed. Why? Because there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God, I can imagine, sits up there in heaven and saying, wow, this person's been faithful. They haven't been well-known and famous, but they've been faithful to me, and I'm glad that they have stayed faithful. I'm sure that we don't know of the people who go into the various churches throughout America and throughout the world who are faithful in their church, and we've never heard their names. But when we get up to heaven and they go to that judgment seat of Christ, we'll see the rewards that they're going to get because of their faithfulness. And maybe it wasn't broadcast well-known. I mean, only certain people come up to the pulpit and preach. But even then, that's only just some of the job. There's other things that have to happen to continually go. Maybe someone just prays and is on their knees for hours a day. God's going to see that and reward that. Someone who does the little things. So verse 5, John wants to support him, wants to now encourage him. He says this, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. What's he saying there? Be hospitable. Continue to help out others. Continue to love other people. Love on other people. To be faithfully welcoming other people. Verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring up forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. When people come in, help them. Give hospitality to them. Some people here have housed some of our speakers that have come in, special speakers, and we've contributed to them. God's going to see that, and God's going to reward that. Some of you have prepared great, delicious meals for other people. I love your wife with the snickerdoodle cookies. They're awesome. I know she's probably watching now. We'll watch you later. I mean, those are great. I mean, she will be blessed for those things. But sometimes it's just the little things. It's the little things that just really make a difference. And it just, as long as you consistently, continually do that faithfully, don't give up. Don't be like, oh man, people don't recognize me at all. I've done this. I come here. I scrub the floors with a toothbrush and people don't notice that. Well, you know what? They do. Why? Because no one comes into this church hardly and says, man, those floors are dirty. That wall is stained. No. Why? Because there are people that go behind the scenes and make sure that stays good. You may know who they are, you may not. But just the little things there help that to take place. Even things as having a clock on the wall or having the screens up here. These were donated $3,000 plus efforts. The church didn't pay a single dime for it. And when it happened greatly during this pandemic age where we're a little more conscious with the frequent touching of same surfaces and objects. But now we've got the screens to where we can see the Word of God and see the songs and be able to sing them out and to be able just to still have church as we normally do, even without the hymn book in our hands. But now you can see it visually. Just little things like that. God is going to reward that and bless that. Don't feel ashamed if you're not recognized, because you are, and you will be. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They weren't in the ministry for monetary gain. They weren't in the ministry just to be recognized and say, hey, give to me because I'm a great person. No. They didn't take anything. They knew what their goal was and they stuck to it. So verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We ought to always constantly be in the mindset of reaching people. In retail, in grocery store, anybody who's worked in retail, what's the number one goal? Make sure the customer is happy. Now, do you encounter those rude people? That goes without saying. I could tell you story upon story, but we'd be here till 9 o'clock, and we don't want to do that. I did have somebody, I'll say this, and this was, the word's not coming to me right now. But I had someone come to me one night, and it was late at night, and she came to me, and she literally, if this is where the person was at, she was literally pressed up against me. Her face was about this far away from me, telling me that this person was being mean to her, and I'm like here, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm about to shove you, but if I do that, then it becomes assault. And I'm like, yeah, okay, good. And you could tell that she had something to smoke or something like that. And so you're trying not to make a facial expression the entire time, but this person's literally like right on top of you. And you're like, that's just one example. But yeah, you still have to make sure that person is happy. You have to try to go out and above a bond near way to make sure that the next time they come and shop, that they are not, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to spend my money here, because if they don't spend their money there, eventually that goes on to other people, and then that business slows down. It's the same thing with church. If we don't constantly invest in other people, and we don't reach out to other people, we don't reach out to the guests, we don't reach out to the person who's sitting by themselves, eventually they will just slowly trickle out, and they won't come back. Now, I'm not saying, oh, let's just reach people so they can give money to the church. Well, God should work in their heart to make that occur and take place. But if we don't do the part of being there for them and being that encouraging person to them, then eventually they're going to phase out. And what work have we been able to do to make sure that that person has been able to be fully developed in the ministry here? The average expectancy of people being in a church, a family, is about 7 years. I like the break statistics, and that's one of them. We've already broken a statistic with Pastor McClure being here over 30 years. But normally the average amount that you have of someone being in a church ministry is about 7 years. When you think about it, that's not that long. 7 years ago was 2015. It's not a long time. I remember 2015 very vividly too. Just seemed like yesterday. Well, some of you feel like 10 seconds ago, who knows? However you want to dictate time. But there are some people who've been here for longer than that. Okay? And I know some people have to move away or stuff like that. But why do people sometimes leave churches? I think one of the reasons why is the fact that they don't feel appreciated. They don't feel valued. No one seems to reach out to them. They kind of just stay close to themselves. Now, can some people be that way? Sure. But ultimately, we as a church ought to be able to be reaching out to them and helping them and encouraging them and trying to build them up. So we see an outlook of a servant here. But in verses 9 through 11, we're going to see a selfish outlook. And that's in verses 9 through 11. Verse 9 says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Who is this man Diotrephes? His name means nourished. He loves to be first. He loves to be the center of attention, this preeminence here. He didn't want John to come to the church. Who would not want the Apostle John to come to church? Would you like the Apostle John to come to church here tonight? You know what I would do if the Apostle John came to church right now? Preach. Your turn. Why? Because he is a guy who I would want to sit down and listen to. But obviously he's been dead for a while, at least 2,000 years. But this guy, Diotrephes, he did not want the Apostle John to come to church. Why? Because he felt like he was going to be overtaken as number one guy. And are there people in churches today who like to have everybody shower the attention upon them? Unfortunately, there are. You would say, no, church is a selfless place. No. There have been times that there have been people who have wanted to make everything about them. Is that the biblical model? Not according to the scriptures. Let's see what he did. Verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds of kicking us out of the church and being number one and trying to make sure that no one oversees him as the number one guy. This guy wasn't even the pastor of the church. I wonder how he felt about the pastor. Who knows? The deeds which he had doeth, prating against us. Prating here has this idea of overflowing with talk, a babbler or a trifler, berating mischievously or other nonsense. This is the only time this word prater or prating is used in this tent, in this section here. So the theological term is the hapax legomena. You're thinking, I'm never going to remember that. I barely remembered it tonight. But it's the only time this word is used, and basically this is a nonsensical guy. He just talks and 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 just keeps on going to make sure that he's heard of everybody else. And he talks with malicious words, with hurtful, ill-will, bad nature words. He'd be like, hey, you, I don't like your hairstyle. It's too long. Oh, I don't like your hair color. It's green. Or I don't like how you dress. It's too whatever. It's too purple. It's too green. And he would find ways to hurt people who were trying to overtake his position to make sure that they would basically be subjected under him. And that's not how a church person should be. And here's the thing. Not only was he prating against us with malicious words against the apostle, he is not content. That wasn't all he wanted to do. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. If someone came into the church ministry, he would say, oh, no, 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 this guy's more famous than me. Boom, let's kick you out. And anyone who tried to help him out, oh, let's just send you out too. Is that the way church people ought to act? No, it isn't. Are there examples of people who have done that in the course of history? Yes, there are. Let me find out. I'm not trying to tell you. But I've seen some examples of that. Now, of course, these people are no longer here. I've seen some examples of that. Trying to sway people. You know what we call those people? They're good for nothing. You know what they try to do? They cause church splits. If a church has ever done a church split, it's never the same. And there are people that are out there in this world today who try to split churches. That's their goal? Yeah. Guess who's trying to use them? The devil. The devil doesn't want to see a unified church. The devil wants to see a split church. And he will use people who are going to sound good, but they're really their intention is to try to turn people against people. And that's not biblical. So verse 11, he says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." He says, follow good. Don't be like Diotrephes. Don't be the guy who just wants to be well known and be the famous guy and that's it. Be a Gaius. And also, you could be a Demetrius. Who's that? Well, we find him in verse 12. A selfish person ruins the church ministry. A servant serves. But now we're going to look at a selfless person. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men. Demetrius here has this idea of belonging, or belonging to corn is what the word was translated out. So he had a good report. The word report there, the Greek word, is martureo, which we would gather our word today, mature or mature, however you want to say that. So this guy hath a good report. He was mature. He was above all men. He had a good report, and people knew that he was faithful. We only get one verse about him, but obviously he was well known. He was godly. He hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. People have heard about Demetrius. They've been verified to John. John can say truly, this guy is a servant of God. John had a character of truth. People would believe John. John said that a person was good, then it was good. So what's the conclusion? What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Well, what outlook do we possess? Are we one of a servant? Are we one who's selfish? Or are we one who's selfless? You examine that within your own hearts. We should be ones who want to see people in church and show them the truth, not judge and kick them out of church. We should be faithful and know that God always enjoys them who walk in truth. Third John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God wants us to follow him and wants us to be faithful to him. God doesn't want us to try to take over and be the number one person in the church. But the pastor is a leader, yeah, but have you ever seen our pastor say, hey, look at me, I'm better than you all. That's why I'm elevating. You're just peasants sitting down there. No, you've never seen that, and you never will. Why? Because he knows he's serving God, and he's doing his part in the ministry. But there are some people out there today, in pulpits today, who are just like Diotrephes. And that's sad. They want to have the preeminence. They want to have the recognition, the fame. That's not the biblical method. So what outlook do you have? Do you have a servant's outlook? Do you have a selfish outlook or a selfless outlook? If you have a selfish outlook, examine your heart. See how you can change that. If you have a selfless or a servant's heart, be encouraged. Know that someone recognizes your work. It may not be broadcast at the pulpit. It may not be broadcast at a meeting. But God knows it. Any text record of it. Father, we pray. We thank you for the time that we've had this evening. Father, I pray that you would just help us here as we examine ourselves, that we can see exactly what you would have for us to hear in the message this evening. Father, I know there's things that are in our lives that can cause us to do various things and tasks, and I pray that you just help us to be able to examine it and see where we're at in our walk with you. I know this is a Sunday night audience, but Father, I do pray that you just help us to make sure that we ourselves are people who are servants, that people know who we are, and when we speak their name, people say, that person's a faithful person of God, that person serves God, that person is on fire and is sold out for God. Hopefully the report is never, oh, stay away from that person. You don't know that person. You don't know what that person's like. May we not have that outlook. Father, I pray you just bless and move this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.